So we're going to transition. On March 8th, we had RISE Awareness. It was just like, okay, just want to make you aware. Micah Kay, our executive pastor, led us in that training session. How many of you either you attended or you watched it on the link? We sent you the link. Good. How many have not had an opportunity? So I know how much. How many have not had an opportunity? Okay, did you receive the link? Those of you that have not listened to it, we sent it out in a mass email again. So if you have not received that link, you really, it was about two or three of you, please check with one of us at break. And let's ensure we have your correct email address and you also check your spam. Because you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff if you're not getting these mass emails that we're sending out. And everyone need to go back and listen to his part, because today we can't reiterate everything he said, because we're moving forward with phase two of the RISE training. Is that good? But I wanted to get a couple of volunteers to just do a quick snapshot of some of the pertinent things. Can I get one person to volunteer to share with the group what the word RISE means? What does RISE stand for? Can I get one person that attended that session to tell her? All right, Mayor, can you stand, please? Bring her, I'm sorry, bring her the mic. I got so many people back there.
The letter was risk. We must take risks to improve ourselves.
Mic, please.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The second letter was inclusive. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the third letter was simple. And the fourth letter was empowered.
Very good. Give her a hand. And because she was so bold, Erica, let her pull a gift card out of that. I want to get a quick review. Vivian Walker's our volunteer for that. She's going to give us two reasons why a healthy culture here at Faith Chapel is so important. And Michael Kay shared that with us on March 8th.
All right. A healthy culture is so important because our environment is what people see when they come to Faith Chapel. The seed of the word is being taught, but what does our environment cause us to, how does it cause us to grow spiritually? What do the people see when they come to Faith Chapel?
So basically, Michael Kay took the parable of the sower and the seed, and we all are familiar with that parable. And the word was sown in some soil. It didn't produce very much. Remember the story? It was in the healthy soil where it produced. Well, culture is soil. Think of culture here as soil. Our vision is for people to grow up through God's word to just be. Pastor Mike is teaching an awesome word, but that word has to go into soil in order to produce. Our culture is the soul. Our culture is the environment. If the culture is toxic, then people will not grow up through God's word to just be. So it is critical. So please go back and listen to March 8th. And so you could, you know, get on the same page with us and we can move together. Okay. Now go to the second slide, please. We're going to move into our culture training for today. And we're going to define, we may have to hit one light back there or something so they can see this. Is that good? Can everybody see? Make sure I can see. Now, don't do that. Oh, gee, can I see? I got to see. Okay, can y'all see that? I'm going to be reading it too. The definition of culture. Culture is an organization's personality. Last month, during the March 8th training, Michael Kay defined personality as the collective thoughts, feelings, and behaviors of an individual or an organization. That's personality. The second bullet says, sorry, culture is our behaviors, values, and the way that we make decisions. How many of you would agree with me that the way we make decisions is impacted by our values? Whether it's our personal values or the ministry values here at Faith Chapel Christian Center, Our decisions are impacted by values, right? So, for instance, Faith Chapel values the word. Isn't that one of our core values? Well, when we make decisions about events or programs or whatever, we're always filtering that through the grid of, will the word be, is it going to be impacted with the word? Because the word is important here at Faith. That's one of our core values. People got to get the word. So we're always thinking about, how do we get the word? No matter what, all of our decisions are run through the grid of our personal values and our ministry values here at Faith Chapel Christian Center. Make sense? Culture is the written or unwritten rules of expected behavior. Some things are just unwritten. It just kind of goes without saying. It's an unwritten rule that have been developed over a period of time. That's culture. We want to create an environment here that is healthy in terms of the way we behave, that is also consistent with our values. So what am I saying? In a nutshell, as we do ministry in life groups, we want our actions and our reactions to line up with the RISE behaviors that we're learning today. And we also want our actions, our reactions, and our decisions to always line up with our core values. So we're concerned with both our RISE behaviors and our church core values. And what are our church core values? People, word, teamwork, and excellence. So we want to make decisions, act and react out of these RISE behaviors and out of our church core values. Next slide, we're going to look at the characteristics of a healthy culture. In a healthy culture, the vision is clear. In other words, every person here at Faith Chapel Christian Center should know that the vision of Faith Chapel Christian Center is to raise people up through God's word to what? Just be. Everybody should be clear on that, because if you're not, you've got division. Amen? So we don't want to have division. We want one single vision. And when there's a healthy culture, everybody know what we're shooting for, right? Second, the atmosphere in a healthy culture is one of trust, empowerment, and respect. Everybody respects everybody's position. We respect the parking lot attendant. Amen? We respect his role. We respect the ushers when they say, come on down, and stop dropping your head like you didn't see him, asking you to come on down. And ladies, I get tickled sometimes fumbling in your purse like you looking for something. You ain't looking for nothing. You saw that usher say, come help us down front. So we respect at every level. Next, people believe that what they do matter in a healthy culture. And every person knows how what they do is connected to the overall vision of the church. I know in Tate Ministry what my role is and how my role impacts the vision of the church. That's in a healthy culture. In a healthy culture, creativity is expected and it's also rewarded. In other words, people are celebrated for thinking outside of the box. Amen. We celebrate that because we want to move forward. Amen. Next slide. In a healthy church, communication flows freely in both directions, up and down. We're talking. Everybody's talking. Up, down, we are talking. I really believe in over-communication. I'd rather err on the side of over-communication. Share everything. That way, make sure nobody says, I didn't know that. I got left out of that. So communication flows freely up and down. So it's not just top level. You guys have an obligation to communicate upward to the team, the leadership team. Everybody is talking. Make sense? Also, in a healthy culture, there's accountability and personal responsibility. So in other words, in a healthy culture, people don't mind being held accountable for what they're asked to do. They don't mind being held accountable. In a healthy culture, people take personal responsibility for if my project is successful or fail. I take personal responsibility. They don't blame. They don't do the blame game. Personal responsibility for what you've committed to do. There's freedom of expression, and there's risk-taking in a healthy culture. Lastly, mistakes are willingly tolerated, and they're treated as a learning experience in a healthy culture. It's okay to make a mistake. No different than you that are parents. Your kids make mistakes. And you sit them down and coach them through why that was a dumb thing to do. No, I was just teasing. You don't tell them like that. You should. Now, that's how we tell them, but we shouldn't tell them like that. Don't do that. Don't do it like your parent. Let me change that. All right. Next, we're going to move to the next slide and look at the picture. What is Faith Chapel's picture of a healthy culture? See, the goal of our culture initiative, the reason you keep hearing us talking about it, our goal has been to determine what does a healthy culture look like at Faith Chapel? Because, you know, different churches got different whatever. So we need to know who we are, right? And we need to know what kind of culture do we need for the vision that God has given our pastor. Amen? So we want to define give you a picture of what a healthy culture looks like at Faith Chapel Christian Center. And basically, you can sum up a healthy culture. The healthy culture, if you came to the March 8th training, you can sum up a healthy culture for Faith Chapel in one word, and that one word is?
Rise.
Wow. That one word is?
Rise.
Woo. Okay, that one word is rise. So what we're going to do now is very quickly, because we're going to go through a lot of examples and scenarios today to make it more practical for you. But before we do, I want to do the quick slides on the definition of each word in RISE. So just the definition. Next slide, the R. The R is risk-taking. The definition is to be unafraid to try new or improved approaches that are beneficial to the organization and others, realizing that mistakes are learning experiences. Amen? I want you to pay attention as I go through the definitions to the key words, because those key words are going to be the filter that you will use when you're faced with a decision that you got to make on the spot. We want to make sure that you have a filter. So listen to the words in the definition. Next slide, please. The I is inclusive. Definition, when making decisions, I include the perspectives and contributions of those who will have to carry out or maintain the decision. So in other words, every person has a voice. Every person that's got to support whatever it is you're doing, they need to have a voice in it. Amen? Because they got to carry it out or they've got to maintain it. So we need to include them on the decision. Make sense? The next letter is simple. S is for simple. Making the products or services that you provide for yourself and those that you serve easier to understand, to use, or to do. Not just be easy for you. It's got to be easy for the person you serve. See, a lot of times we do stuff and it's easy. It makes our life easier, but it doesn't make the life group member's life easier. So don't just think about what makes your life easier. Make it simple for the people in your life group. Can we do that? The last letter is E, empowered. Definition, promoting the good of the organization and others by taking ownership of my work as a host or my work as a coach and initiating decisions within established boundaries. We haven't talked a lot about boundaries, so I want to give you some information about that part of our RISE acronym. Our goal through the empowered behavior is to ensure that every person that serves here is equipped with the authority and the resources to do ministry. You're a life group host. We want you to have the authority And we want to give you the resources to do ministry and execute a little faster. You know what I mean? If you got authority and resources, you can move a little faster. Don't you agree? Now, so in other words, when you're faced with a situation, we want you to be able to handle it on the spot whenever possible. You handle it without texting somebody, emailing somebody, putting the person off, give me a week to get in touch with somebody. We want you to execute faster to satisfy people's needs a little faster. So we want to empower you with more authority and resources. But to avoid confusion and costly mistakes and errors, there must be established boundaries. Everybody understand that? You've got to have some established boundaries that are written and that are clear. They have to be written so you can go back and refer to them, because you ain't going to remember all of them. And they need to be clear so you need to make sure you understand. Let me illustrate that. Here at Faith Chapel, we have overall corporate boundaries, okay? But every ministry with like life groups and ushers and children, you also have to have ministry-specific boundaries. Does that make sense? Example, at Faith Chapel, we have one of our overall corporate boundaries is no employee or vision partner can go out and spend $5,000 or enter into a contract for $5,000 without running that through the finance department. That's a boundary. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, within an example of within the ministries, because ministries got to have some boundaries as well, an example of that might be a vision partner that's overseeing a project or an event. Your manager, team leader may say you're allowed to spend up to $500 when you got an emergency or a situation that come up. You can spend up to $500 to make it happen. And you don't have to be trying to text me, call me, because I may be at the beach. So, you know, so that's what we're talking about. Every ministry needs to make the boundaries clear. Write the boundaries, make it clear, so that when I'm out doing ministry in my life group or whatever, I can do what I need to do without getting bogged down. Does all this make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So how will I know, next slide, how will I know when I am practicing RISE behaviors? Let's look at the R, risk-taking. There we go. Now, I'm not going to read that necessarily because I already read you the definition. I want to give you an example in this. So in risk-taking, you are practicing risk-taking. I'm going to read. Risk-taking behaviors when you're not afraid to try new or improved approaches that are beneficial to the organization and others, realizing that mistakes are a learning experience. I've got an example of that on, you know what? Can I see? Yeah. An example of risk-taking. Listen to this. Sandra is the staff person who oversees the budget and supports the storehouse ministry. She has observed on numerous occasions that the leaders have had to purchase additional food on very short notice in order to meet the needs of the people at the storehouse. So during these times, the leader would have to find Sandra, secure her church credit card, go to Walmart to purchase the additional food. Sandra decided to make it easier by requesting a corporate church credit card through the finance department to be used by the leader in emergencies. She set up a maximum dollar amount on the card. Got it? Decision grid. This is how we make the decision. This is risk-taking. Was this a new approach?
Yes.
Yes. Did it benefit the ministry?
Yes.
Did it benefit the storehouse leaders? Why, yes. Amen? Was it risky? Yes. I put down these reasons. It was risky because the leader could use that corporate card at Walmart to buy her some groceries. She could. That's a risk. And then since his storehouse is food, how would you know? So it's risky. Second risk, the leader could use the card, could lose the card, and somebody else could be charging on our card at Walmart. So it's risky, but it's worth the risk. Don't you see? It's worth the risk. Amen? Let's go to the letter I. How will I know when I'm practicing inclusive behaviors? I'm practicing inclusive behaviors when I'm making decisions that include the perspectives and contributions of those who will have to carry it out or maintain the decision. That's inclusive behavior. Let me give you an example. Eddie leads one of the all-male golfing life groups. So many ladies have approached him about joining the group. Eddie agrees and invites the ladies to come to the next group fellowship to introduce them to the other men in the group. Talking inclusive. Decision grid. In making this decision, did Eddie include the perspectives and contributions of those that will have to carry out and maintain his decision?
No.
No. No. This was an all-male golf group. Amen? And they had a right to decide if they wanted us in it. Amen? Now, we ain't talking about risking. But I had a sidebar when I was looking at that. And some of them wives, that's risky.
Yes.
Oh, that's risky, baby, because I thought my man was in a male group. So it could be a little risky, but y'all didn't ignore that. That was, but it's risky. It's risky. The second, because I know I'd be like, okay, Connie, you told me it was nothing but men. All right, but anyway, we're going to move on, because I ain't jealous. It's just making a point, Can I get a witness? So all the women, okay. Here's another example, inclusive. The head of the parking ministry has an idea that he thinks will shorten the time it takes to empty the parking lot after service. He calls a meeting to discuss his idea first with all the vision partners in parking. Then they put together their ideas, and he then schedules a meeting with all the with the leaders that are over the police officers and also with the director of operations of host ministry so they can present their proposal to them. Decision grid. Did he include everyone in the decision who would have to carry it out and maintain it?
Yes.
Amen? Y'all get an A. Let's go to the next one. Is this helping to make it a little clear?
Yes.
Let's look at the S. How will you know when you are practicing simple behaviors? You are practicing simple behaviors when you make the product or services that you provide for yourself and those you serve easier to understand and easier to do. My example for that one, we have a fellowship where tickets must be sold. The leader announces that there will be various points of sale. We will sell at the bridge during daytime hours, Campus A during daytime hours, Sunday and Wednesday in the dome lobby. We will also accept cash, credit cards, etc. There was complete collaboration with her fellowship team members, but not with the other departments. Decision grid. Did this behavior make the service provided easier for the leader? Yes. And for the members of the church to buy tickets? Yes. No long lines. They don't have to wait. However, she should have considered what other behavior? Inclusive. Inclusive. You've got to consider the perspectives of the people that's got to maintain this decision and carry it out. You got full-time employees at Campus A. You telling folks to come buy tickets? You didn't even ask us. Exactly. She did not include everybody. So we violated the inclusive behavior. The people that's got to maintain and carry it out, you need to hear from them. What they think and what they feel. Does that make sense? Amen. And my point in doing that was to help you see that in your decisions and in your scenarios, you can't just look at the R or the S. You've got to look at all of RISE before you make the decision. Make sense?
Yes.
The last one is empowered. How will you know when you are practicing empowered behaviors? You are practicing empowered behaviors when you are promoting the good of the organization and others by taking ownership of your work and initiating decisions within established boundaries. Okay, example. John is 6 months into his group, life group experience, when he realizes that the group is too large for him to really care for the people properly. So John decided on his own to select a new host from within the group, recruit 10 people from within his group to become a part of the new group. Decision grid. Did this decision promote the good of the ministry? Did it promote the good of the life group member?
Yes.
Did he take responsibility for his role as a life group host? Yes. Was his decision to recruit a host and start a new group within his established boundaries? No. Because the corporate boundary for requirement or guideline for a life group host is that they make application, they go through a brief interview, and we train them first. So, I mean, all the other was good, wasn't it?
Right.
But we got to take it all the way through, y'all. All the way through. That wasn't, he didn't have the right to do that. And that's why, again, I say when it comes to boundaries, it's going to be critical that we know what the written boundaries are for the ministries in which we serve. Amen? Let's go to, now I'm moving on. Did that help some? Because we're going to do some exercises. You got handouts where you're going to get to do this. See, y'all looking at me now. I'm doing all the work. But I got some exercises I made up for just for y'all. So y'all can do some of this work. Let's go to the next slide. Organizational culture. In this section, we want to discuss how every individual, all of us, supports RISE and supports a healthy culture. Culture, next slide. Culture starts with us, capitalized. People are the ones that shape and influence culture here at Faith Chapel. You, us, we, not Pastor Mike, not the church itself, but people are the ones that shape and influence culture. Our organizational culture changes when every individual embraces the behaviors that reinforce RISE. Every individual within the church, no matter the role. Amen? Lastly, to see rapid change within Faith Chapel, everybody must commit to communicate and model the culture. Notice, communicate and model. What are we saying? Don't just talk the talk. You need to walk the walk. Talk is cheap. You ever heard that? Talk is cheap. But what we're saying is if we're going to have a healthy culture around here, then all of us must communicate, talk the talk, and model, walk the walk, the new culture. Amen? The common thread that flowed through all three of those points was that culture is about everybody. It's everybody's responsibility to impact, influence, and shape culture. Amen? Next slide. Your role. Your role in culture. First, you need to understand some truths regarding culture. Just a few truths. Truth number one, everyone, not just the leadership team, leaves their fingerprints on culture. Everybody. I know you think you don't matter, but you matter. If you even think about the scripture that deals with the body, you know, the hand, the leg, the feet, the, every part of the body, what? Matters. So you matter, and you impact culture. You leave your fingerprint on culture when you do ministry in your life groups. Amen? Truth number two, culture change must be approached with a strong sense of urgency. Now, why do I say that? Because an unhealthy culture is toxic. An unhealthy culture can destroy the vision of this church. It can hinder the vision from coming to pass. And as a Christian, we must care enough about people, y'all, and life-changing people that we do not drag our feet. If we're saying culture affects the vision, which is to grow people up, bring people into the kingdom, then we can't drag our feet in developing a healthy culture here. We have to care enough about people. We must be quick to do whatever it takes to model the rise behaviors, to walk out the rise behaviors. We need to all say, I'm going to do whatever it takes, me personally, to ensure I don't hinder the vision. Amen? Our vision impacts the kingdom of God for the good. So we need to hurry up and fix whatever we need to fix and walk out whatever we need to walk out, embrace whatever we need to embrace so that people can be impacted for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Number three. Sorry. Truth number three. Changing culture is a messy process. So expect the old culture to fight back. This is not a negative confession, because I know we're in a word church, and I know some of y'all are saying, now that's a negative confession. It's not a negative confession. It's the truth as it relates to culture. If you understand this, that it's a messy process, changing culture is a messy process. If you embrace it, then you won't be distracted or frustrated when the old culture fight back. Amen? For example, years ago, Connie and I led a discipleship class. Here, that's how we grew people up, through God's word, to just be. That was the old way. Well, now we have a new thing. We're developing a growth track designed to grow people up, but we're doing it online. Now, Connie and I could say, no, go back to the way we did it. Under the old culture. See, the old culture, all of us like a lot of times the way it was. Just keep on doing it the way we did it. So even you may start hearing voices inside yourself fighting back. So it's good to understand that it can be messy changing old habits. You've been eating macaroni and cheese every Sunday. Talking to me. Because I was, but I had to change that habit. Amen? So, and my body fought back. Oh, my body fought back. I wanted that cheese on Sunday. So, your body will fight back. We just got them old ways of doing things, and it's hard sometimes to change. But we going to change for the better. Amen? Because I want to live and not die, and cheese wasn't going to help me do that. Okay. Next slide, your role in culture. Next, we need you to commit to start by evaluating your own behaviors and beliefs in light of rise. Look at you. Don't be looking at other folk. What they need to do, look at you. Amen? And what do you need to do? What do you need to change to line up with the rise behaviors? Look for opportunities to execute rise behaviors in life groups. And some of you are in other ministries, so within whatever other ministries you work in, start looking for opportunities to actually model rise behaviors. You look for them. Don't expect somebody to come to you and help you to find some. You look for ways for you to change and line up. You can start by holding yourselves accountable for modeling rise behaviors in every situation you encounter in your life group. Whatever comes up in your life group, commit that I'm going to model rise in this situation. Next, you can start by becoming a cheerleader for the rise culture. Become a what? Cheerleader. I always wanted to be a cheerleader. In high school, this sojourn, I wanted to be a cheerleader, but I was too skinny. And I was cute enough. Some of y'all didn't get that. But I was too skinny to be a cheerleader. But I wanted to be a cheerleader. So we needed to become cheerleaders for rise. Will y'all let me be a cheerleader for just a minute? And y'all gonna help me? Yes. Give me an R.
R.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an E.
E.
What's that spell?
Rise.
What that spell?
Rise.
What that spell?
Rise.
Woo! See that? Thank y'all so much. I feel so much better. I feel so much better. I knew God was going to find somewhere I could be a Jew. I just had to wait. Just had to wait on it. The last thing you can do, it ain't that funny. Some folk over here said, I see why she wasn't a cheerleader. That's all right. securing me, baby. I'm securing me. The last thing you can do is start by always looking for the yes in every situation. Now, listen. I know, we know, you know, you're not going to always be able to say yes to every situation. But what we want you to do is to have the mindset that I'm going to be looking for some way, somehow, in every situation where I may not be able to give them exactly what they're asking for, but I'm going to find something I can give them. Amen. To make them feel like they were heard. Amen. I'm going to look for, so I'm saying, guys, look for the yes in every situation. Understanding that you will have to say no, but as you're thinking, as you approach with that situation and you know the first answer primarily is no because of maybe some boundaries. But I'm asking you to go the extra step and look for some way that you can say yes. Does that make sense? So that's how you can help us to shape and influence and change the culture here to rise, which we call a healthy culture.